Our sermon today is going to be from Romans chapter 10, verses 5 through 10. So if you want to turn there to get a jump on it, that's where we're going to be looking this morning. Before we get started, I just want to pray quick. Heavenly Father, I am an unclean vessel and a man of unclean lips. I, in my own power, have no right or responsibility or reason to stand before these people that you love, but by the saving grace and blood of Jesus Christ, Lord, I am forgiven and allowed to do so. So we ask that as we look into your word this morning, we would grow closer to you and be conformed more to your image. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. So before we even turn to the passage, I wanted us to remember just how remarkable the Word of God is. The Bible is not just one book written by one person. It's a collection of 66 books written by more than 40 authors across approximately a 1,500-year span of history. These writers came from all walks of life. They're shepherds, kings, fishermen, prophets, and scholars. They spoke different languages and lived in different cultures. And yet, despite all of this diversity, the Bible tells one unified story, God's plan of redemption through His Son, Jesus Christ. From Genesis to Revelation, the thread of redemption runs unbroken. The Old Testament points forward to a coming Savior, and the New Testament reveals His fulfillment in Jesus. Consider this. There are hundreds of prophecies in the Old Testament about the Messiah, where He would be born, where He would live, how He would die, and how He would rise again. A mathematician, Peter Stoner, once calculated that the odds of just 8 prophecies being fulfilled by one person purely by chance is 1 in 10 to the 17th power. That's 1 followed by 17 zeros. Imagine covering the entire state of Texas, 2 feet deep in silver dollars with 1 marked, and then blindfolding someone and telling them to, on their first try, pick that exact coin. Those are the odds of Jesus fulfilling all the prophecies in the Old Testament. And yet, Jesus fulfilled not 8 prophecies, but hundreds, perfectly, completely, and in detail. That's not coincidence, that's the hand of God, revealing His truth and faithfulness through His Word. And that same Word tells us something just as amazing, that the righteousness of God does not come through our works, our effort, or our law-keeping, but through faith in that very same Jesus. So that's exactly what Paul is explaining in Romans 10, verses 5 through 10. That we don't have to climb up to heaven to bring Christ down, or descend the depths to bring Him up. The Word of God is near us. The gospel is accessible. Salvation is by grace through faith, right here, right now, for anyone who believes. As we think about this incredible, trustworthy Word of God, this Word that has proven true in every prophecy and promise, we come to Paul's words in Romans 10. Here Paul reminds us that the same God who fulfilled His promises in Christ also makes salvation available to everyone that believes. The message of the gospel isn't distant or complicated. It's near. It's not about what we can achieve, but what Christ has already accomplished. Let's read Romans chapter 10, verses 5 through 10 together. For Moses writes about the righteousness that is based on the law, that the person who does the commandments shall live by them. But the righteousness based on faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is, to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the abyss, that is, to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. So let me start with a question. What do we need to do to be right with God? That's a question that people have been asking for thousands of years. Every religion, every philosophy, every culture, even people who wouldn't call themselves religious have some kind of answer. They have to. Most answers sound like this: do more, try harder, be better. But Paul tells us in Romans chapter 10 that there are actually two ways people try to be right with God. One is by the law, and one is by faith. And these two ways could not be any more different. First, let's talk about righteousness under the law. Verse 5 says, "For Moses writes about the righteousness that is based on the law, that the person who does the commandments shall live by them." Paul is quoting from Leviticus 18:5 here. The idea is simple. If you want to live by the law, you must obey it perfectly. That means every command, every time, with no exceptions. The problem is, none of us can do that. Romans 3:23 tells us, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. It's like trying to swim across the Atlantic Ocean. I really wanted to use Lake Pleasant as a relative, relatable image, but I know a lot of you people in here are really strong swimmers, so I can't use that as an example. So I'm going to say, imagine trying to swim across the Atlantic Ocean. It's like trying to swim across. Some of us might swim farther than others, but nobody is making it to the other side. That's the problem with trying to be righteous by keeping the law. You'll never get there on your own. The law shows us God's perfect standard, but it also shows us that we each, every one of us, falls short. President Trump recently stated on Fox and Friends regarding his efforts to bring peace in Ukraine and the Russian conflict, "If I can save 7,000 people a week from getting killed, that's pretty good. I want to try to get to heaven if possible. I'm hearing I'm not doing well. I'm really at the bottom of the totem pole. But if I can get to heaven, this will be one of the reasons." I respectfully submit that President Trump's statement sounds as if he's trying to work his way into heaven. How many of our friends, family, loved ones, and even ourselves fall into this trap? People trying their hardest to be good when no one is good enough weighed against a holy and perfect God. The message of the gospel has been preached to President Trump and many others powerfully at Charlie Kirk's memorial and at many other venues. So let's continue to pray for our leaders that God would reveal himself to them as we're called to do in God's word. Let's switch it up and talk about righteousness based on faith. Paul says in verse 6, "But the righteousness based on faith says," and then he quotes from Deuteronomy 30. He says, "Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven?" That is to bring Christ down. "Or who will descend into the abyss?" That is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? "The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart." Here's what Paul is saying. Salvation isn't a human quest to find God. You don't have to climb into heaven to bring Christ down. You don't have to dig into some grave to bring him up. You don't have to perform some heroic spiritual act to get his attention. In the Reformation Study Bible, General Editor R.C. Sproul states that this passage in Deuteronomy exhibits God's salvation as achieved not by humanity's strenuous efforts, but by divine grace bringing it near. But why? Because Christ has already come down in the incarnated as man. He has already risen from the dead in the resurrection. The work is finished. As Paul says, the gospel is not far away. It's near. It's here. It's in your mouth and in your heart. That brings us to the heart of our passage, verse 9. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Two things go together here. One, we have to believe in our heart. That's an inward trust. Two, we have to confess with our mouth. That's outward acknowledgement. This isn't just lip service. True faith starts inside, but shows itself on the outside. When we say Jesus is Lord, we're not just saying he's a good teacher or a spiritual leader. We are saying he is king, he has all authority, and he is in charge of my life. And when we believe that God has raised him from the dead, we're saying we trust that his death paid for our sins and his resurrection is proof that death has been defeated. Paul says clearly, you do this and you will be saved. Not you might be, not we'll see, you will be. John MacArthur has a powerful statement that captures the heart of Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 10. He said, many people acknowledge that Jesus is both the Son of God and Lord of the universe, but Paul is speaking of the deep, personal, abiding conviction that without any reservation or qualification will confess Jesus as Lord. That is, will confess that Jesus is the believer's own sovereign, ruling Lord, in whom he alone trusts for salvation and to whom he submits. So, what do we do with this word that the Lord has given us today? I'm going to give you three quick takeaways. Number one, stop trying to earn God's favor. You can't do it. Christ already earned it for you. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 9 tells us, for by his grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God. Not as a result of works, so that no man can boast. Number two, recognize that the gospel is near. You don't have to search the world for God. He has come near to you through his word and through Jesus Christ. John 3:16 tells us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Number three, respond with faith and confession. Believe in your heart. Confess him as Lord. Live unashamedly for him. Love your neighbor as yourself. I'll conclude with one last water illustration. Imagine now you're drowning in the ocean. You're exhausted. You can't keep your head above water. Then a lifeguard swims out, grabs a hold of you, and starts rescuing you and bringing you to shore. You don't argue with him about swimming techniques. You don't try to take over. You trust him to get you to safety. That's what Jesus has done. He came to us when we could not save ourselves. He has done all the work. He brings the gospel near so that you and I can simply believe and live. So here's the truth from Romans 10, verses 5 through 10. Righteousness by the law says, do and live, and we fail. Righteousness by faith says, trust and live, and Christ saves. The gospel is near you today. If you have never believed in your heart and confessed with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, the invitation today is open. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, the living word that reveals your heart and your plan of salvation. Thank you that righteousness does not come through our own effort or through keeping the law perfectly, but through faith in your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, we confess with our mouths today that Jesus is Lord, and we believe in our hearts that you raised him from the dead. We thank you for the promises that everyone who believes in him will be saved, not because of what we've done, but because of what Christ has already accomplished. Thank you that your word is not far from us. It's near, it's in our mouths, and in our hearts. Thank you that the gospel is not beyond reach, but right here before us, simple, powerful, and true. Father, help us to live in that truth this week. Help us to walk in the joy and assurance of salvation, to speak the gospel boldly, and to share it with those who still need to hear that Jesus saves. May our hearts stay tender to your word and our lips quick to proclaim that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. In his precious name we pray. Amen.